This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Martin doesn't want to let Heather know all about all the grab ass that starts up as soon as his headphones.
Oh, she knows all about the grab ass.
Grab ass.
Infamous. You know, I had to go and pick up my Grabby Award. And I mean, I had to tell her what it was for. You know what I mean?
That's true. Right.
Can't just go grab an ass and not tell my wife about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's like, it's harmless fun.
Of course.
For sure. Hey, I liked Mike's weekly reads since we're doing a pre-show right now.
Ah.
That was fantastic this week. I got a little choked up. I'm an old softie. I can't help it. I love it.
It came out with a wicked echo, though, because I didn't realize I didn't have my headset on, and it was recording from my computer.
Oh, shit.
And I walk around a lot when I do that show, because it helps me think.
I get that.
What kind of wireless headphones do you have?
Logitech.
I try to do that.
$36 one wire. $36 Best Buy variety.
That's what I got.
Yeah.
I can't get it to work properly.
Do you use the USB one?
No, it's Bluetooth.
I don't use the Bluetooth.
Maybe that's why.
I have both options, Bluetooth and USB, and I go over the USB wireless.
I might have to try that. I try to do a Bluetooth, and whenever I use it, it doesn't let me choose my desktop mic, and it mutes the headset mic.
Mm.
So I had to go back to the old analog headphones.
Nice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I like the old school retro stuff. Let's go, yeah.
You know, it works.
Put on the 8-track on program 4 and let's get started. Yeah.
Yep. Refill the punch cards.
That's
right. Time to get rolling.
You better not drop them. Don't drop them.
So did you want to come on so we can discuss this issue that I'm having?
Yeah.
Because I tell you, the more I think about it, the more problems I'm finding.
Well, that's because you're thinking too much.
That's probably true.
I answered your problem on my Mike M's weekly reads.
I heard.
It's simple.
That's a rough solution.
Cut the cord, baby. You just do it. Because if you stop and think, You're gonna triple and double think, and you're gonna start saying, "Well, I want this and I want that." And you're gonna fight yourself.
Chris Parton.
Cut the cord.
Yeah,
fine.
Chris Parton told me this. Well, kind of similar thing, because I put my top 5 comics that I'm reading right now.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Cool, there's your answer. Just buy those 5 and don't buy anything else." And I was like, "I can't do that."
No, the key is just to ask yourself, like, what makes you happy? Is it the reading or the collectability, or is it both? And if there's like a certain title like Batman that you just can't cut the cord with, and that goes in the collecting pile, and you want your collecting pile to shrink so you don't, you can go digital on everything, because digital is on demand. I mean, you can buy that when you're ready to read it.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy it when there's a sale. You get hungry and you say, "Oh man, I want to read Elektra. I'm going to go buy it." Or I'll go to Comics, what do you call it, Unlimited, and get it.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I just, one of the issues I had with that though is with Marvel and DC, I don't own the comics if I buy the digital copies. You know what I mean? So I have to use Comixology.
You gotta look at it this way. Right now, people are getting flooded out of their homes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And how many people are losing comics in their basement or on the first floor of their house? If you have digital and it's on a server, you'll have them forever.
Well, what if DC's like, "We're not doing Comixology anymore. You have to get DC Unlimited."
Well, what if a tornado hits the servers? I mean,
well, I mean that's
the whole cloud.
That's less likely, though. That's less likely because I mean I'm sure DC wants to do their own limited service.
Well, you take your gamble with all that digital, but you don't pay a lot for it either with unlimited. If you lose $12 a year or whatever or $60 a year, it's not going to be like you bought $15,000 worth of comics.
Yeah, that's true.
True. I knew from the beginning of this year I was going to buy Marvel Unlimited. The first time they do their sale, I'm buying it. I just didn't want to pay full price. And I waited 7 months for it to finally hit. But do you think, even though in my head I knew I was going to do this, do you think whenever the Marvel sale hit every Monday or during the week on Comixology, I wasn't like, yes, I have to buy that? I did. I still bought all that shit. So I personally don't care. I don't care if DC becomes DC Unlimited. I'll still go back and buy all that stuff again because it was a nominal price. Hey, I'm not telling you, if you did what Ronnie did, you went out and you bought, 10 boxes, and you're going to sift through them. That's Christmas. I would do that, too.
You know, that mother effer, he sent an email, the longest email I've ever had in my entire life. I would read it, but it's so long, I'm not going to. He had suggestions, and pretty much it said, I should go maybe mostly digital and get some trades. And then he goes out and buys, how many was it? 15 long boxes?
I think it was 10.
All right, whatever. He paid $40, so I can't blame him.
Wow. I didn't know the price. Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he said it was $40 for the 10 long boxes. Now.
Nice.
That just, yeah. And it was just kind of like a blind buy, you know what I'm saying? But still, at $40, I mean, you're going to get at least $40 worth of comics in there. Hell,
sure.
Not even one long box is maybe $40 worth of comics. But how dare he?
Hell, I would even say, because I know my answer, I don't know Daryl's answer, because I know he's full digital. I'm pretty well full digital. But for $40, that's how many Starbucks trips?
Well, I don't buy Starbucks.
I know, but I'm just I shit away $40 in a week without blinking an eye. So to buy 40 long boxes and know next time I see Martin, I'm going to have a long box for him. Mm-hmm. I don't need to hold on to all 10 long boxes. I can give them away to friends. Honest to God, when I look at that, that's like an early birthday. That would be fun just combing through, reading maybe. Even if I get 50 comic books out of it that I read, not even talking, sell it. That would be good enough for me. I'd be happy there. I don't need to flip all 40, or sorry, all 10 long boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really like to give them out to friends.
Yeah, I mean, you gave me that one box at C2E2.
Yeah.
I get that. All right, so Mike, you buy a shit ton of comics.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. You're buying.
Are we officially done with our pre-show?
Look, Nick. How long have you been doing this podcast? There's no such thing as a pre-show here. Okay, it's all being recorded.
But you're recording.
It all started at the beginning.
Yeah.
With the grab ass.
Okay.
We have all that on tape.
It's on tape.
That's on tape.
Mm-hmm.
On 8-track, but it's on. I got it on 8-track.
All right, so you buy comics mostly for collecting. I mean, you do enjoy everything you read, but you buy for collecting.
No, I buy for reading first, then collecting. I'm just like a library. I'd rather have it stocked and ready to go.
All right, but that's what I'm saying, though. You buy so many. There's no way you're reading everything, right?
That's right.
Because, when you do Mike M's, you're, 6 to 9 months behind on what you talk about.
Oh, I don't read. I mean, there was a while I was caught up with DC, and then I was like, you know what? I'm not enjoying it as much. I need to go back to my mood reading. I need to. And the only reason I did that was because of Daryl. Daryl said, let's do weekly reads. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's throwing me off my game. He's throwing me off my game because, man, I got to be in the mood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got to feel it. I got to feel it.
Maybe that's the problem. I just haven't been in the mood for a lot lately.
And that's when you shift gears. You just go like from first to fifth and it, yeah, it goes. But you just do it.
Yeah, but see, if I read alphabetically, then I'd want to read some more comics.
Alphabetically, I don't know how that works in my brain. I just don't know it because to me, you wouldn't get your, you might be force feeding yourself. It's like eating. It's almost like if you go get a burger and you don't feel like a burger, you wanted a pizza. Mm. Then that burger is not going to taste as good. You were still craving that pizza.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I go, oh, today's B, so it's got to be burger day. Or I got to go get a biscuit for B. No.
Well, and
pizza. And then see, that's how Rob eats.
Right.
Alphabetically. Yeah.
Right.
Eats alphabetically.
But see, then I'd be reading Batman every week as soon as it comes out.
If you're stuck in B?
Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't have a lot of A's. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. Some people it works for in their mind, and like Rob says that he's always in the mood for anything. That's possible. I don't get it. Because to me, comics are like a medium, like any medium. Like it's like a video game or a TV, a show or a movie. If you go see a movie and you're not in the mood for it, you're not going to enjoy it as much.
Mm-hmm.
If I go see a B film, like a really cheesy Blood Drive, and I'm not in the mood for Blood Drive, then I'm going to be like, oh my God, this is ridiculous.
But Blood Drive's so good.
Oh, it is, man. They do so many ass shots in there. I'm like just so happy. I'm like, damn it.
Nick, have you watched that yet?
I don't have cable.
I think it was available streaming because Bill watched the first episode.
Yeah, it's on the Sci-Fi app.
Yeah.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, check that out. Check that out.
I did just watch something that Mike commented about this week.
Which one?
It was, and I'm sure Mike knows it. I'm sure it's completely off Martin's radar. Battle of the Network Stars.
No, I don't watch that. No, I don't watch that.
Oh, that my is God. So much fun, man.
The retro clip this week had Heather Thomas.
Yes.
And Heather Locklear in the dunk tank together.
In the dunk tank, yeah.
It was the best.
And it was cool, though. You had Isaac and what's-her-name from the Love Boat.
Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, Julie, and they did the swimming relay, and they won! I can't believe it.
65-year-old guy beat, like, a 32-year-old. Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
But I had, you know, like, I was like, damn it, Barb was, like, pick the team first. It was her turn to pick the team, and she stuck me with, what are you, New Kids on the Block, or whatever the hell they are. And I'm like, I don't want New Kids on the Block. I want the Love Boat, damn it. So I was, like, rooting for her team, even though my team was New Kids on the Block.
You know, I went to see New Kids on the Block like a month or so ago. That's not a joke. Nick, did we talk about that?
We did talk about
that. Oh, yeah, that's right, because we talked about Paula Abdul. Yeah, it was Boyz II Men, Paula Abdul, and New Kids on the Block.
There you go.
That was my wife's birthday present to herself.
Lance Bass, or what was the other guy's name? Lance Bass, and there was what?
Joey Fatone?
No, those are... NSYNC.
NSYNC.
Yeah, that's NSYNC. Well,
that's who it was. It was NSYNC. I get all the boy bands confused. Unless it's New Edition. I love New Edition.
Mm-hmm. New Edition is good.
Now, since Barb took the Love Boat team this week, last week, did she at least give you the team that Lou Ferrigno was on?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I got that team. I was all like, right. There's no way. I got Hercules and the Hulk on the tug of war. There's no way you're going to win.
I don't know how old that guy is, but my God, his arms are still jacked when he was yanking on that rope. Woo.
I liked how he was like on the dunk tank too. Like he missed it on purpose, and he honestly said, "I missed it because I like her." Blah blah blah, and then he like threw it and just hit it immediately. Like he knew he could hit it anytime he wanted it.
Yep,
he proved so good. It.
It's not going to win any Emmys, but my God, does it bring back just awesome like family memories?
That's what me and Barb talk about. It's like me and my family sitting around the old click and dial TV, watching Battle of the Network Stars and rooting for these cast members. I mean, it's like retro. If like we talked about it on Geek Brunch, if you liked it then, you're going to like it now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stupid game. I mean, it's only like 5 events or 6 events.
Oh,
it's the same shit all the time. But you see, like a 65-year-old man running the relay and pulling his hamstring. I mean,
or Kelly Osbourne getting allergic to the sun.
Yeah, she's allergic to the sun.
Like
a vampire, man. But she's allergic to the sun, but she competed in every event. That's what
every outdoor event, she's out there. So crazy. But you did miss Denise Richards. She was on.
Oh, Martin. She looked good as ever.
Really?
She looked good. She looked real good.
She's always been so fine, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And those short shorts. Oh, my goodness.
Good. What was that movie she did with Neve Campbell? I watched it like a million times.
Wild Things.
Yeah, wow. That one. That's the one.
Mm-hmm. That's when you get to see Kevin Bacon Dick. he's well hung, man.
You think that was really his dick, though? Maybe he had like a dick double.
Well, he could have had a dick double, but I think being in that other show on Amazon, what is that called?
Oh, I Love Dick.
I Love Dick. See, there's more dick. I think he's well endowed. I think he'll show his dick. Just like that guy Maloney or whatever his name is that was in Oz, that guy will pop his dick out.
Oh yeah,
the Jets.
He sure will. That's like that.
Donald Trump too. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, Maloney?
Yeah.
Really?
On Twitter. Yeah, we follow him all the time.
I need to check that out then. They got the dude in oh God, what's that show? Fucking Blood Drive. He's got a big old dick. They just never show it.
Oh my God, yeah, it's a black bar.
Yeah. It's like down to his ankles.
Oh my.
I'm not finished. I got one more episode to go to be caught up, but
yeah, I'm too behind on that.
Man, that girl is hot.
Yeah, she is.
And they dress her for, I mean, it's totally Grindhouse, like, show everything. And then there's that robot girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's bending over every chance that there's a shot on the cam.
Yep, that's good. I did, I know you've been watching Van Helsing. I watched this week, the first season.
Yeah.
That show, it was really good.
Yeah, I watched the first 2 episodes and I was like, I'm going to stick this out because I read the comic. Like, I read Helsing, it's called, from Zenoscope. So I was like, I'm going to stick it out. And then it, like, grew on me and grew on me. And, like, I really like the characters together. Like, that Marine guy I like.
He's just a
badass.
Yeah, he's awesome. I was surprised. I don't read Zenoscope. So I was surprised when you said that. I hadn't paid attention, but it says it at the beginning of every fucking episode.
Yeah. Well, that's the only reason I added it. I didn't know where it came from. And I was on my elliptical when I exercise in the morning, I watched Netflix, and I just finished The Client List, which pissed me off because it ended on a cliffhanger and never came back. But it was about a woman whose husband left her, so she went into like a prostitution massage ring, and I was like, I was really into
it. Wait, is that Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Oh my God, it was a great show. And I was hooked. I was hook, line, and sinker, and I didn't know the history of it. Like, I didn't know that that she got pregnant during the show by her the show's husband.
Really? And, I didn't even know she had a kid.
And then the producer, she was one of the producers, but Lifetime producers and such, they wanted her brother's husband, or no, her brother in the show, her brother-in-law to be the father of the baby, and she's like, no, that's ridiculous. Then they got in a big fight and they never renewed it. So
really?
Oh wow.
Yeah, I had to go research it after because I got I was like, Barb, no. She didn't You're watch invested. It with me, but I was invested in it. So I was like, do I watch Army Wives or do I watch Van Helsing? And I was like, I'll do Van Helsing.
Army Wives. What?
I don't know what the fuck. I just want some mindless entertainment is when I'm on there.
Did you check out Martin's favorite show?
Which one?
The CW one. What is it, 300? 100?
Oh, that show's so good.
Oh, no, I haven't checked that out yet.
That's my favorite show.
The Benson Sisters.
Yep. It's freaking amazing. And I can't wait for the next season. They had a crazy cliffhanger at the end of the last one. And, yeah, next one's going to be fucking nuts.
Yeah, it just went to South Carolina. It had a wicked vacation, and I downloaded a Van Helsing episode, and it was the one where she had that guy on the bed, and she was like humping it. She had strapped him.
Yep.
She's a vampire, right? She's just like humping him, and I'm like, what an episode to download, the one that has the only sexualist situation in it, and I'm there on the flight, you know, and I'm like showing Barb, I'm like, hide, help me hide this. And she says, why don't you fast forward? And I said, I can't. I want to see what happens.
But they don't even show anything, though. It's just the grinding.
No, but it was pretty good grinding.
It was some pretty good grinding.
So, in other words, you saved that episode.
And that was like strip club grinding.
You haven't deleted that off your laptop yet.
I have not.
Yes.
I just play it back and forth.
That's the only sexy time scene on that show, though, I think.
It is the only one.
Yeah, if I remember right.
It just happened to be the one episode that I downloaded for the flight.
You should have changed seats and, like, sat down to, like, a nun or a group of kids. That would have been good.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a good show. I think the second season's starting soon.
Yeah, I saw the preview for it on Blood Drive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be good. Oh, yeah, it's a sci-fi show.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
I've stayed away from sci-fi for a while, but with Blood Drive and Van Helsing, man, maybe I'm missing a boat.
Yeah, the production value in that show is really high. I was very surprised.
Yeah.
I try watching, what's the one that's like Battlestar Galactica? That's based on a book. Oh, God. Now I can't remember. Is it Scalzi that writes it?
Is it on sci-fi?
Yeah, it's on sci-fi.
Yeah, I'm probably not watching it. I should be.
God damn it. What the hell is the name of this book?
Is it called, like, Capricorn or something like that?
No, but that would be awesome. It's based on The Old Man's War. Ah, fuck. It doesn't matter. That show's really good. The Something. The Something.
The Something.
Wait. The Expanse. That's it.
Ah.
That's really good. And if you like, I know you like Battlestar Galactica.
I love Battlestar Galactica. The original.
You need to check this out. Yeah, well, the original. I like both of them.
I like both of them, but the other one's grounded. It takes the religious stuff. It becomes a little weird.
The new one?
Yeah.
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 The first one's straightforward sci-fi. And you got Starbuck always smoking cigars and gambling and looking after women and playing grab ass. I like that.
That girl's going to be in the Legends of Tomorrow, the one that played Starbuck in the new one.
Really?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I can't remember what villain she's going to be, but she's going to be in season 3.
Ooh. I met her at a sci-fi con. She's gorgeous.
Yeah, she's pretty good looking.
And she can kick your ass.
She plays a lot of tough ass roles, but yeah. She's had a couple where she dresses up pretty nicely.
Oh yeah, for sure.
What the hell's her name? Doesn't matter. Twin Peaks, get off my Twitter. I'm gonna mute that.
I think that makes her sexy though, the way she plays the roles, because she's like, I don't know, she's just so tough.
Because she doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
So does that mean you like what's her name, Michelle Rodriguez?
I haven't seen the movie yet. The Assignment.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
I mean, she's done badass stuff before. She was in Resident Evil and some other stuff.
Well, after I read The Assignment, I'm like, man, there's a movie about this. I got to watch it. Because I loved it so much. Like, the art and the story, like these hard case crime books, they're so good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I get so invested. And usually I'm like, okay, I have to read issue one for Geek Brunch. And then I have to wait for Bill to get the trade. And I'm like, screw Bill this time. I need to read this.
Have either of you seen Atomic Blonde yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet. I heard it was good, though.
You want to see a kick-ass woman. Holy mackerel. And Charlize Theron?
She's in my top five.
She has no problem being naked in that movie.
Hello.
She is so beat to hell in it, which is really, like, it is not sexy whatsoever. And that makes it more sexy.
Exactly. Makes it more sexy.
Oh, she has so many bruises and cuts on her, and she's, like, getting in and out of bathtubs left and right. But it is not sexy. But it is. It's really sexy.
Is that streaming yet? Nope.
If I'm ever a director, there'll be a lot of ass shots. You'll see it. Like Blood Drive. A lot of the, like, coming out of the tub, the Spartacus thing stuff. Oh, man, I'll just have that all over the place. I'd say, who is this guy? Perverted.
Well, you do read Zombie Tramp and all that shit, so.
Ooh, The Lookers. That's nasty.
The Lookers? I haven't read that.
It's a Boundless book.
Oh. Than I can imagine. Let me look it up.
It's X-rayed.
I see boobs. Oh, ass on the cover.
Yeah. It was Avatar used to publish it in the 90s. And then Avatar, for some reason, they just decided to leave and go into Boundless. And they're only like pumping out like three books now.
Well, is that because...
Ever since Cross left.
Well, is that because Alan Moore quit doing comics again?
Well, they had like Kieran Gillen. They have like Avatar has like a bunch of writers, and the artists they get, like if you ever look at an artist of Cross, no shit, they're badass.
Oh yeah.
And they get them all from Europe, and the Boundless artists are that way too. And they're not afraid to draw dick and pussy and everything in it, and they'll show everything.
Is Gillen's doing a book for Marvel now, isn't he? Or he's about to?
I don't know.
I thought
I don't
he
keep
was.
Track of, I just absorb it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, because Ennis is doing stuff at Aftershock. Alan Moore's done. Warren Ellis is Ennis busy.
Ennis is back at Marvel, too. He's doing the Punisher again. Yeah.
Ooh.
Are you serious?
He's doing a Vietnam story, yeah.
Is that part of the is that the ongoing or a new book?
That's a miniseries.
Huh.
Yeah, I imagine it's more in the Max vein.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the artists that he always has, like in the Max series. The miniseries ones.
Yeah, it can't be Steve Dillon. So
no, he's passed. Yeah,
you're right. Yeah. Maybe Leonardo.
But he was drawing it with Clunin until he passed. But
Clunin.
I love Garth. Garth, no, and he's going back to Vietnam, so it's gonna be some good Frank. I just know it.
That'll be good.
I gotta look this up.
Well, he's so good at war comics. I mean, he invests a lot. Like, I went to one of his panels, and he reads a lot of history stuff, like nonfiction. He knows his stuff. When he writes something, he knows what happened during this time frame, and then he makes it fiction out of it. But it's still amazing.
Yeah, I love his Battleground stuff.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Those are great. And that
War stories. War stories, yes. From Avatar. Yeah.
As well, I loved his Max series, that, what was it, Nick Fury?
Yeah.
Where it was like Nick Fury, like every issue was like a different war skirmish that he went through.
I think that's the artist that's with him, too.
Ooh, all right, I like both of them.
Let me check who that was.
All right, I found that it's Garth Ennis, and the art is Goran Parlov, and it's called The Platoon.
It is the guy who did Fury Max,
Yep.
That Fury Max is so good. That's a good team.
Garth is pretty doggone amazing. And it's weird, too, that he's the most, of all the crossed writers, he's the most grounded. Like, he doesn't, like, go nuts like some of them do, but he created the crossed. Me and Bill miss it very much. I think it's so, like, the horror factor of it is amazing, and it's just so, it's like Walking Dead on steroids. I like the crossed. I miss Avatar. They've lost their presence, I think. I don't know why they're not publishing much.
I've got a shit ton of Cross, and I've read barely any of it. I read some of Volume 1. I've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4,
Volume 1 is pretty tame. It's like Volume 1, Volume 2, and then it just goes nuts. And the thing that's different than The Walking Dead is you can't really follow a group because they all pass. There's only like 5 survivors in the whole 100 issues, and they are sicker than the crossed. I mean, to survive in this world, they have become worse than the crossed. So, like, the only survivors are the ones that are just horrible, horrible people. You don't want to mess with them. You'd rather die. But the artists they get, I mean, they're amazing. Like, Avatar... And some of the Boundless, the problem with the Boundless is like $5.99 books. Mm-hmm. They're expensive. And all of the meat, all the stuff that makes it a good book, like even the story, is the new stuff. And it's like 20 pages. And then you get a bunch of pinups, and then you get old stuff. So it's like, you don't really get like, if it was all like the first stuff, I would really, really, really enjoy it, but it's not. But The Lookers is cool because it's like crime noir. It's like, they're investigators. Like in The Lookers number one, Ember, they were investigating a husband that was cheating on the wife. And they're like, okay, we're going to follow this guy. All we need to do is get some screenshots. And then they get caught up in like a Mexican cartel drug lord thing, and it's crazy.
That's
they're getting
great.
Shot out, and they're on like motorcycles, and they have all kinds of cars chasing them with machine guns go, and they're in bikinis riding these bikes. Oh man,
that's great.
See, I think that would get me out of the story, Mike. I don't know. I'd be a little too distracted.
You might be.
Because, like, Zenoscope does a little bit of that, but you can still follow the story, because there's not, like, all TNA.
Well, Zenoscope's misunderstood. Like, most of the people that condemn Zenoscope don't read it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Zenoscope, Barb read Zenoscope, right, Barb? You read Grim Fairy Tales, and it wasn't, like, TNA, right? See, she even says right. She liked it. She was reading Fables and Grim Fairy Tales. It is good story. I mean, yeah, they put TNA on the cover, but that's to attract whatever audience they're going after. But there's content in the book.
Grim Fairy Tales is the one that's like an anthology, right?
Yeah.
That's like horror stories inside?
Everything that... No, that's Grim Fairy... the main title is Grim Fairy Tales. The other one's Tales of Terror.
Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of.
Anthology.
Yeah, I love the anthology. That one's really good.
Yeah, that one's like Tales from the Crypt.
Yep.
Yeah. So that they have that, and then every character like Helsing and Cinderella and Robin Hood, they all spawned off of the main title. But that one got over 100 issues until they relaunched it finally.
I think I read some of the Robin Hood. Wasn't there – there was like a big event crossover. I think I read that too.
Yeah, that one wasn't too good. their crossovers are not the greatest. I haven't read very good crossovers. But me and Bill get like Courier. We get like Red Agent. There's a lot of them that come out of there. And they're good books. I mean, they're really good. They have a lot of continuity in it, believe it or not.
Oh, no, I noticed that.
A lot of freaking continuity. I mean, they did Little Mermaid or whatever that was. That was Meredith Finch. And they've done quite a bit of stuff. Matter of fact, Pat Shand kind of owns that, and he rewrote that Looker story I was telling you about for Boundless.
No, I didn't read Little Mermaid. I was just looking at it.
Yeah.
Realm World, that's what I read.
Yeah, that's the one I think I skipped. I don't get all of them, but I get a good portion of them.
It was good but confusing because I wasn't reading much beforehand.
Yeah, that's because they have such continuity.
Yeah,
It's really in depth. I mean, their action figures are killer. Oh my god, if Valiant could do action figures like they do,
they have action figures.
Yeah, they've done Robin Hood. They've done Cinderella. They've done they've done a couple of them. They look awesome.
Check these out.
Yeah, they're cool. There's if you're ever just curious and you want to really get what Xenoscope's about, read volume one of the main title, Grim Fairy Tales, because it'll spawn off. It really is Grim Fairy Tales, but in a modern take. Like they're in the world. It's like fables. It's just different.
Okay.
With sexy women.
That might draw me in more than fables trivia. Okay. Can I switch gears on you boys?
It's your show, dude. You do whatever you want.
Because I have a question for both of you. Uh-oh. And it stems from exactly what Mike was just talking about. And actually what I'm reading, so, to give you a little preview. Because currently I'm reading Rot World, the crossover Rot World, for the first time. And you know how much of a scaredy cat I am, Martin. I read a very few pages, not even an entire issue, before I go to bed. And I have to put it down because it creeps me out just enough. But my question is, and Rot World for me falls into it perfectly. What was your favorite crossover, and would you like that crossover to actually become an event? So instead of just crossing over, it actually becomes something larger. Rot World, I wish Rot World was larger. Like, it encompassed all of the, I'm going into, like, they're trying to locate Superman, and they have, like, umpteen flashbacks of all these heroes being brought down by the rot. And I was sort of like, why did this only go through Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, Animal Man, and Swamp Thing? Like, I would have liked to seen that hit like different titles, or even if they make it like an annual type of event.
You know why you're experiencing it, I think, and feeling it at the level you're feeling it, is because you're reading it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
When it was coming out monthly, it was like a long burn. I mean, it lasted forever. It was like you'd get it 1 month, and then you'd read it, and then it would go over into Swamp Thing, and you'd read that one, and then you'd wait another you know, 3 weeks or 4 weeks, and it was long. But when you're sitting and enjoying it all in one shot.
Oh, for sure.
Man, if you're feeling it, if you're really feeling the rot, the red, the green, you really need to pick up Charles Soule's Swamp Thing, because he introduces the metal and oh my God, it gets good. I mean, like,
all right.
It is all linked. All that stuff is all linked together. And, okay. And a lot of the characters that are introduced in Lemire's and in that early run are he plays with. So he really took that and ran with it. I mean, he made it. He did the same. Like, Charles Soule kicked ass at DC. He got all the titles that were failing, mm-hmm. and he injected life into them. Like, he got Swamp Thing, he got the Red Lanterns. And man, did he make that Red Lanterns book addictive. I mean, he took the Milligan stuff and just put it in high speed overdrive. And he made you care about these characters that are bad guys. I mean, that you don't have empathy towards. Now you do. He did a great job. More so than I think he does at Marvel, although I do really enjoy his Daredevil and his Inhumans.
I was gonna say Daredevil and Inhumans he did pretty much the same thing for.
Yeah, Inhumans he did fantastic. Mm-hmm. It didn't settle well with a lot of people. They're like, who are the Inhumans? I don't care. Mm-hmm. But he did world building with the Inhumans. He took it and he made it big and really large, and he gave all of these second tier. He created so many characters. I mean, there are so many characters that got hit by those that Terrigen missed, and he built their lives. Like, he has that detective and that goes with a dog. I mean, he created more bad guys, and usually it's the royal family, and that's it. I mean, he took the ball and he really ran with it. And whether people liked it or not, I read it like you read Watt World. I sat down, you know how I collect and collect and collect, and then I sometimes read it like a trade. I read all that Inhuman stuff in one shot, and I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop.
Yeah, you see all of the spider webbing that a writer's trying to do.
Oh,
man. A lot easier.
And there is a lot of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of it.
But see, that's why, I mean, going back, like, this was a crossover. Looking even at, and Martin already knows, like, I am the biggest cheerleader for Secret Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard all of the criticism, but since I trade weight, I didn't have to wait months in between issues. So for me, reading that, it was just tons of fun. But I totally understand the people that read it issue to issue. When you have to wait 3 months and it's not the only comic you're paying attention to, I understand you're losing like all of those little spider webs that for me are all connected.
And that's where the emotion comes from. That's why your reading experience is when you're in the mood. And that's why I read mostly like I'm in trade most of the time, even though I have single issues. And I think that's why I enjoy it more than just reading month to month, because you don't feel forced to be caught up. Like, people always ask me, how do you feel about this? And I'm like, haven't read it yet.
But Mike, I gotta say, I love your transformation from having the library trying to read everything current to now you're a complete mood reader, and the anxiety, you still want to have the library, but it's by having the library, it takes away that anxiety because you want to read. I think today I'm going to read Moon Knight 25.
Mm.
Well, that anxiety is gone because you know you have Moon Knight 25.
Yeah, and I just go down to the basement and I grab it.
Yep.
I pull it out of the Mylar and I was like, I want to read it. I can do it.
Yeah, and I love that new attitude. Because I think everyone has seen that transformation, and it's probably been what, 9 months that you've been slowly transforming over just to be a mood reader.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's fascinating.
I've always been a mood reader. It's my co-hosts that kind of take me out of it.
Well, everybody, I was talking...
canceling those podcasts because I can't, like, Retro Geek Brunch and DC Noise, they're free for alls, man. I don't even know what's going to happen. And that's what makes you keep wanting to do it. It's because you don't have a plan. If you don't have a plan, that's why I love your podcast. If you don't, you never know what you're going to get.
We don't know either.
And it's just like two friends talking, and it's like it's more natural. It's not planned. It's not scripted. It's coming from your heart. It's coming from your passion. You're feeling it, whether it's good or bad emotion. It's raw. It's not, you know, scripted at all. And that's the kind of stuff that I go for.
But can I ask you about your other podcast, Gotham by Geeks? Because they like you can take a book, any book you want in, and this is my book of the week, but they also just discuss a lot of the current Batman. So do you feel like you have to keep up on that universe?
No, I usually tell them I'm going to go mute if I don't want to get spoiled. And then if I don't care, cause I like, oh, they're going to talk about Batman now and I'm not going to read that, I know, for another 4 months, then I'll just say, go ahead and do it. And by the time I get to it, I forgot what they said anyway.
Gotcha. But I have to say, as a trade waiter, when I finally flip the switch that I don't care about spoilers in my head, like even listening, I believe it was like your last podcast, Mike, you were talking about Death of X. And Martin sort of talked about it, but sort of skirted around some of the spoilers. And in your like 3-sentence review, you just sort of dropped like, this is what Emma's doing and this is what Scott was doing. And to be honest with you, now it's like, I have to find Death of X. Yes, I need to read that because I want to see how that happens. And that just gets me excited for it.
Death of X was, if you're an Emma, and Daryl's going to come on and he's going to say, you dumb, stupid guy, what? I'm not feeling it. It's not right. But I think if you really love Emma Frost, Death of X is like amazing. Because she comes out as like she should be, manipulative. I mean, she lies about everything. Like, Scott was dead a long time ago. And she just led people, the whole X-Men, on this whole thing, this whole war.
Let's not forget, that relationship started, and she would show Jean in his dreams to him. Like, this woman ain't like a princess. So
no, she comes from a very dark place.
But some writers write her as a princess. And it's she's like, been heroic, she's
but
not.
Don't forget what she's done, right? I mean, she's done some bad stuff, like Magneto. Except I would be with Magneto. If I was a mutant, I believe in their, like, they're treated like shit. And I would rather be, like, you could be a good guy and be with Professor X, but you're always going to be on the side that nobody cares. And all your friends are going to die. And for no reason, because you're protecting somebody else. I'd rather protect my people and my loved ones, and that's what Magneto's about.
Yeah, but I mean, that leads into issues. Like when you start doing that tribalism like Magneto does.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get your sentiment, and I agree. Like, I would want to protect my family first of all, but I don't know. That gets rough in real life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But we'd be fighting each other then, Martin. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't follow Professor X's side.
Like, you'd be somewhere with the X-Force.
I'd just do whatever Emma wants to do. You know what I mean?
These kill missions in the middle of the night.
I'd be an uncanny X-Force. That's what I would do.
You'd have your infrared eye goggles ready to go on these night missions.
I just want to do cool shit. That's what I want to do, you know?
You'd be walking past with the knife, man. You're like, I'm ready.
I just want to run around with Cable.
See, you see what I mean? Like, if I had mutant powers, I wouldn't want to, like, go live peacefully in an island or some shit. Like, I don't want to go do cool shit with my powers.
Yeah.
Well, if I had powers like Cable, I'd be like, man, this timeline sucks. I'm out of here. Back to the past. And I wouldn't even be thinking, how can I cure this timeline to make it perfect in 3,000 years? I'd just be like, look, I'm in 85. This is perfect.
Look, if I had a mutant power, my mutant power would be to not be affected by Emma Frost's power. Because then she'd be like, this guy's not affected. Sexy time all the time.
Oh.
Do you remember the Greg Horn covers on that Emma Frost?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Emma is the best.
Yeah.
Emma is the best.
So fun.
I don't know if it was real life, I don't know if I'd want to date Emma Frost. Like, we've talked about my stripper stories before.
Yeah.
That none of them were Emma, but you know. There's women kind of like that. You gotta avoid them.
About it.
yeah. Like Daryl says, the dead eyes. You don't want dead eyes all the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's
absolutely.
Just not kosher. So I don't know.
I'm gonna go mute for 2 seconds because Barb's gonna do some salsa.
What?
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah, she's making some homemade salsa, and the blender's gonna go bzzz, so.
Nice.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I thought he was talking about like she was actually going to start salsa dancing.
Salsa dancing?
I was like, don't mute that. Put it on video.
Hell yeah. It's fun.
Oh, that's crazy.
Do you have any idea, going back to the pulp comics, do you have any idea like those hard case? What is it? Hard case? Hard crime?
Yeah, hard case. I haven't, I need to pick those up.
Are those selling at all?
No, like, not too well.
That stinks because they're so fantastic.
Well, like everyone in our Facebook chat's been talking about those books, so I've got to pick them up.
Yeah, you should.
Trigger Man, Peep Show, and The Assignment. Yeah.
And every time you say Peep Show, I always think Joe Matt. That is Peep Show.
Did you read it? I want to talk some Peep Show. I mean, this.
Yeah,
no,
Joe Matt's
no,
Peep
no,
Show.
No, Joe Matt. Joe Matt's amazing, okay?
He's
Canadian, and this guy just sexually masturbates all the time. And,
yes.
And he lives off. He's deviant. He has, like, a deviance about him, about, like, not caring to his friends. He's not very loyal.
Oh, no.
And he writes about himself. And he's so bad on himself, and you're like, man, this guy is not a good person. And I actually met him in real life, but I was like, I don't want to shake his hand because I was like, this guy's hand is constantly masturbating.
Yep.
So I'm like, yeah.
Well, is he pretty much like his writing?
He looks like his writing.
Oh, my.
No, but it's like. Well, not a lot of people have read Peep Show. And then what he's done is Fantagraphics has taken a lot of pieces of Peep Show and they've made these hardcovers like Spent and, God, what is the other one called? There's one about when he was a child. I can't remember what it's called, but it's amazing. It's autobiographical and highly, highly entertaining.
Oh, I thought it was very honest writing, which was fun to read back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, for him, like, he felt like he was writing for an everyman, where I used to read Seth quite a bit, Palookaville. And every time I read him, it totally made sense that the New York, the New Yorker, went after him to draw cartoons for them, because he just had such a, like, clean, finished style to his work. So that... Palookaville has always been like so high up there for me, and he's never ever come around here for any of the cons. I think he does Canada and San Diego. That's about it.
Wow, I can't believe you read Peep Show.
Oh, God, yeah.
I don't know too many people that have read it. That's why I get excited when I hear somebody's read Peep Show.
See, if I go digital, I can't get that. That's not on Comixology.
But see if you can find... Well, hold on a second. I'll give you some titles. Maybe the collected editions are... Because Peep Show is like his cartoon, and they collect the cartoon. But they have like collected editions of various times in his life.
So if I remember a few years ago, Sean was he was looking for a few issues of Flaming Carrot, and I was like, "What do you need? Do you just want me to send you my entire run?" Like I had no problem. Like I just wanted people like just put that art in people's eyeballs. That's all I cared about. And he was like, "What can I send you?" And I was like, "Nothing. Don't even worry about it." It's just like the same with like Palookaville or Peep Show. It's just those are fun things that more people should be reading.
Yeah, I got into the autobiographical stuff about 10 years ago, maybe a little longer, but that's when I got into the Joe Matt stuff. And I think I read everything that came out of like Drawn and Quarterly and Fantagraphics.
Nice.
And then I went to Tom Beland and I read True Story, Swear to God, like everything that he had on it.
Wow.
And I fell in love with both of those books.
See, so you've read like Yummy Fur and
No, but Bill I think Bill has.
Oh Bill's my god. Chester Brown went from writing like dreamlike, very surreal dreamlike type, like very interesting stories into writing almost like it was he became almost like Joe Matt, like realistic, but yet there were still dreamlike qualities around the masturbation.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
Well, if you read Peep Show, you know, there was like three guys that he hung out with, and two of them were doing autobiographical books too, and I think one of them was Chester Brown.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Because there was that one guy that that did the autobiographical, and he would always have sex with hookers. And I can't remember what his name was, but... So you had Joe Matt that would masturbate all the time, and then you had this other guy that would just get hookers all the time.
Don't shake his hand either. Well, that's a real shame that those pulp crime books aren't making bigger splashes. That's a darn shame. Because I even asked when Ronnie... when he was going through the two boxes he went through last night, my first question, other than Master of Kung Fu, which I need some Master of Kung Fu. But other than that, I asked him if there was any like war crime books in there. And he was like, no, sorry.
Yeah. Most of what he had on there was like old superhero stuff.
Yeah.
Those are kind of hard to find. Like the Crime Noir stuff. I mean, Valiant did some stuff when they were Acclaimed. They had a lineup of Crime Noir books.
Yeah, the Armed and Dangerous.
Armed and Dangerous. But there was like Gravediggers. There was there was like five of them.
Yep.
And they were good. If you like Crime Noir, I'm so into it though right now. Like that's why I absolutely fell in love with Batman and Elmer Fudd. It is so crime noir. I have been like not liking Tom King's voice in Batman, but when he did Elmer Fudd, oh my god. Every word he wrote it exactly like Elmer Fudd talks. Waskell and you know like the way he talks. And they were in a bar and inside the bar they had characters like they had a guy like Bugs and you know, Bugs Bunny, and he's at the bar, and Elmer comes in and talks to him because he thinks that he killed his girlfriend. And they have Foghorn Leghorn gambling with Yosemite Sam, and in the background, and they're talking to each other, and it just if you love Looney Tunes, like it is so good because it takes that Looney Tunes world and it puts it into a crime noir world at a bar. And the voices are like top notch. Like Tweety looks like he's like a guy that rats people out. He's got a huge head. And it oh man, it's so good. And it's got Silver St. Cloud, and I am a sucker for Silver St. Cloud. I like love her. She's my favorite love interest for Bruce Wayne, like by far. And it is so cool. Have you guys read it?
Did I? I don't think I read it. I have it.
No, I haven't read it.
You should read it. I think it'll change your mind, because I was in tears in like I had goosebumps the whole time I read it, and I just had all this passion, and I just like I couldn't let it out, and I was like, Barb, I can't read another comic. I can't, because I had it was so good. Like it was like peak, and I didn't want to come off that peak. And I knew if I read something else, I would fall off that peak. And I still haven't read anything since this morning. I'm still circling around that. And it came at the right time. It came at the right time, because I just read The Assignment and I was like, this is 5 out of 5. I'm in love. And then I read, I'm like, okay, why am I going to do this to myself? But I'm going to read it. And it went into that crime noir again. I'm like, oh my God. Yes.
Was it Tom King's writing or was it Lee Weeks?
It's
that brought you in.
It was both, but Tom King's writing is what brought tears to my eyes, because I love Elmer Fudd. And the way the banter between Elmer Fudd and Bugs was amazing. I mean, it was just top notch. And then you threw in a triangle of love between Elmer Fudd and Bruce Wayne and Silver St. Cloud, and that's just got it. It's got the pulp in it. It's got it. It's like, oh, it's so like you. This could have been a hard case crime story with the Looney Tunes. It could have went into Titan Comics. That's how good it was. It was amazing.
Take all my money.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
I never in my wildest dreams thought I would love this book as much as I did. But I posted it was my single favorite solo issue I've ever read in my entire life. It hit every emotional chord that I could possibly have. And we're all different. Like, my emotional cords are going to strike different than yours. Mm-hmm. And it struck at the right time. Like, I'm so into the crime noir right now, even in like TV and what movies that like you could throw anything at me and I'm like, yum, 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 yum. And I'm like, ready. And this Elmer Fudd book just came and slapped me in the face. And it's like, I haven't read a comic since.
Wow.
I'm flipping through this right now. It's actually really good.
Oh, and Lee Weeks. I mean, just look at some of the dialogue, Martin. It is so Elmer Fudd. It almost brings a tear to my eye, because he's so in love with Silver St. Cloud. Uh-huh. I mean,
it's funny too, because he talks just like Elmer Fudd does in the comics, right? He's like, I'm hunting playboys.
Yeah.
But like, it doesn't feel comedic. Like, it feels serious.
No, it feels passionate.
Yeah.
I almost cried for him, because I was like, he's carrying this shotgun around. Barrel shotgun. Shit, Bruce Wayne.
Shit.
I might have to go to my LCBS and pick that up this weekend.
Yeah, I'll read this after we're done. There's a couple I hadn't read. I didn't read that one. I still haven't read the Jonah Hex one and the Wonder Woman. Those are the three.
What's the Jonah Hex one?
Jonah Hex, Yosemite Sam.
Ooh.
And then it's Wonder Woman, Tasmanian Devil.
Interesting.
I like the rest, though. Oh, no, and I haven't read the Lobo one. Oh, fuck. All right, I'll read these tonight.
Yeah, just the bar scene alone, Martin. Oh my God! And it's got that talking frog in it. You know, do you remember the Looney Tunes cartoon where that frog would always talk when the guy was there, mm-hmm. and then he would shut up when he's like, "Hello, my baby. Hello, my baby." <Yeah. laughs> He's in that comic.
Oh my gosh!
Like, yes. And then Marvin the Martian is at a bar at the bar too. I'm like, oh my god.
Oh, that's my guy right there. Sign me up.
Oh shit. Yeah, I'll check these out.
And Mike, I know you're a big Shadow guy. How is Batman and Shadow?
That one started off really good. I've only read the first one.
Okay. That's where I'm at, too.
And I like it a lot. I love the Shadow. I've even read the first issue of the new Shadow series. And that one starts off really good because it starts off with a John Doe in the hospital. And wow. it may or may not be the Shadow. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
Because the nurse was rescued by the Shadow early in her career, and she's like, I think this guy's the Shadow. She's like, his voice is just spot on, you know. It is pretty good. I liked it. I love the Shadow. Like, and it's weird too because I never listened to the radio show. But I did watch the Alec Baldwin movie, and I've read all his DC appearances, and I collect all his Dynamite books. Like, Dynamite gets shat on, but they do the pulp hero pretty doggone good. Like let's see, what do they do? They do the Doc Savage, the Shadow, the Green Hornet, of course. Justice Incorporated, like, these are all the things that DC had the licenses for a short time when they did the first wave.
Yep.
Now Dynamite's doing it. And I love the first wave. I really did. I was so pissed with the Doc Savage because they didn't finish it. And yeah, the only way you could buy it was through digital. So I was like, I'm going to Comixology and I have to buy 18. Because it was never published. They just went directly to digital because they canceled the line.
Jeez.
Is Justice Inc. good? I might pick this up.
Yeah. Justice Inc. is a lot like Doc Savage. It's a guy, but he can change the way he looks. He's kind of like the Human Target. So if you like the Human Target... The Human Target TV show is great. That show was good.
Was that done by Kyle Baker at DC first?
The original Human Target was a backup in like one of the Action Comics or something, right?
Or am I thinking Justice Inc.?
Justice Inc. had his own title when there were 20 cents.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I can't remember who did it. I'm trying to find it now. Oh, it was called Justice Inc. The Avenger. And that was done by Mark Waid. Well, no, that was Dynamite. Hold on a second. There's so many series. I'm trying to find. Yeah, DC. This was in the 70s. That was Denny O'Neill with... Jack Kirby and Joe Kubert. So it's like, wow. Yeah, no joke. Yeah, it is the first appearance of the Avenger in that 20 cent issue. That's only four issues, though, 1975.
So maybe this is the shit I need to be reading instead of all the new stuff. Maybe I should be reading, like, these throwback to Golden Age stuff.
Just read what you feel like that. Don't let somebody dictate what you want. Like, just what do you feel like? Just like when you go purchase anything, what do you feel like eating? Just what do you feel like reading? And just go do it. You will enjoy it so much more. Like, and you were right. Kyle Baker drew the mini series for Justice Inc. With Andy Helfer writing it, so I haven't read that yet. That was a deluxe format series. It was only two issues.
Yeah, yeah. But that's when DC were doing. They were doing a lot of deluxe format.
Yeah, that came out in 1989. Kyle Baker's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of different styles like that he can do.
I think Martin, I think you need to, if you can get over the hump of not needing or having the desire to know what every new title is doing, if you can give up on that, it would make your life 10 times less stressful.
Well, I mean, the more we talk about this, the more I realize maybe I should just quit reading comics altogether and just buy trades.
Yeah, or whatever you feel like on demand, like off your iPad. Boom, you got it. There you are. You read it. You absorbed it. You'll remember everything you care about. I mean, like Elmer Fudd is ingrained in my brain right now. You talk to me when I'm 65, I'll be telling you, oh, I remember they were in the bar. Like the things that you're passionate about, they'll mm-hmm. stick out. The stuff that's just mediocre, you'll remember certain parts, but you won't remember the details.
I think I just dropped like half my damn books.
I was gonna say I don't even see you happening to call your list. I would agree that maybe looking at your top five, top 10. But even if you do that, like we were discussing last week, all of a sudden a creative team could go on that and just poop the bed for you. Where, guess what? You can go in and out of titles. It's okay. It's okay if you don't read volume 5 of, you know, Contest of Champions. That's all right.
Or you could do what Bill does. Just dip your toe in when something starts. And if you like it, say, hey, that's on my trade list.
Yeah.
And then you have the whole story.
Or Batman and Elmer Fudd might be a little bit. And that's when you run up to the LCBS and you're like, I'm going to buy that. And I'll buy two other comics.
Mm.
It makes it so much. As soon as I gave up on, I need to know exactly what is happening with the Avengers and Justice League. And I would still, through osmosis, I would still hear on podcasts or friends talking about those titles. But once I gave up on, I have to be part of that conversation. Oh my gosh. It's freed me up to like, let's read EC Horror. And now I can discuss that with two or three of my friends who actually read the same thing.
The key is to talk about and put yourself in a position to be the most passionate about what you like.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is to be loose form on, like, there's certain podcasts like Gotham by Geeks where I show up and I can pick anything, gives anything Batman, which is good. Because mm-hmm. if I want Swamp Thing, I could say, when did Swamp Thing team up with Batman? When did that? I mean, Adam Strange, okay. Adam Strange was with Batman. I could do that.
Or you do a Brave and the Bold, like Unknown Soldier with Batman.
Well, I almost did this. I couldn't make this one podcast, but I almost was going to do All-Star Squadron number 4. And Batman was only in like 4 panels. And I was like, he's there. Earth 1, Batman's there.
Yeah, see, that's kind of what I do with Spider-Man, because I'll read all the Spider-Man events, but I don't give a shit about the book when it comes out.
Right. Yeah.
But the events are fantastic.
Or guess what? All of a sudden, one of your buddies reach out and like, have you read the new creative team on it? Oh, you should pick it up. And guess what? You pick up the first arc, but you don't need to have it right now. You could just pick it up on trade.
Yeah, I'm reading the Clone Saga for the first time. Never read it. Just skipped it entirely.
I got to join you on that.
And I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I'm enjoying that it's a cluster. I'm enjoying that it's all over the place. I'm enjoying that I get Ben Reilly in 4 issues, and then I get Peter in another 4 issues. And then they throw in a Spider-Man Unlimited that's just a one-shot. And I was just Mary Jane watching her husband almost die, and I was almost in tears because she got in tears. I was like, oh my God, Peter's gonna die! And she's like breaking down. She's like, I might lose my husband. The building just fell on him. and it's just Boomerang, you know, throwing boomerangs. And I'm there crying, and it's only like a 15-page story.
Oh.
I was right next to Mary Jane on the couch crying for Peter.
Clone Saga. Didn't that go on for years?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I have an omnibus, and there's still another one coming.
Oh, yeah.
Halfway through it.
I need to look
it up. It is so bizarre, but it's like, I am so in the mood for it. Like, it's incredible how some of these scripts are done. They're like so loosely, and you're like, they're not like tight. They're just like all over the place. But if you stick your brain back into that time period of the 90s, you're like, oh, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to me. Yes.
Dude, I love that era. And you got to remember, too, I was freaking young as shit in the 90s.
Yeah.
So, like, all those books, as bad as some of them are, like, they're still special to me because I was a fucking kid reading them.
Well, the thing is, as bad as good. A bad book can be a good book.
Mm-hmm.
And what people do, you don't have to have an Academy Award. I mean, you don't have to have a book that's top notch. You just have to have something that you sit down and you enjoy. We enjoy Blood Drive. Blood Drive's not going to win any awards. It's going to mm-hmm. drive away 90% of the population, but we love it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like 90s has a lot of comics like that. I mean, it has a lot of comics that I was reading Avengers Unplugged, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And that's one of the books that failed immediately. You know, they're having the wedding of Titana and Absorbing Man, and I'm like, I remember those guys from Secret Wars. I remember all those love affairs with Volcano and Molecule Man.
See, I love reading those 90s issues, and if I come out of like a Jerry Conway one or a Rich Buckler one, and even if it's horrible and just not horrible in a bad way, but just like it didn't set the world on fire, but I can come out of it and be like, they were trying to do something there, whether it was catch up to the times or just write the most bizarre ass stuff. I love when I come out of it and it's like, all right, somebody was smoking way too much pot or dropping LSD. Like, that made no sense, but who the hell cares?
That's exactly the way I feel about Elektra right now. I'm reading that book, Peter Milligan and Diodato Elektra, and the plots of this are just so ridiculously fun. I'm like, oh my God.
Was that Milligan right after, like, Shade the Changing Man?
I think this was Crazy Milligan smoking something. Like, Shade the Changing Man is pretty artistically awesome. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you look at it from certain angles, this is just crazy shit. Like, okay, I'm going to go write some stuff and see where it goes.
He was hanging out with Morrison too long.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just some threads in there that are bizarre. This is like, see, after Elektra's been murdered and she comes back to life and her and Matt are no longer a thing, and
like
she opens up a
school,
dojo.
Right?
Yeah, she gets a job working for this guy that's going to put a play on, and it's a big hit. Like, there's like people in the audience and Elektra's dancing, and this artist this architect guy wants to take over her body, and for some reason he's sending like every B-list villain after her to try to take her down. It starts off with a Bullseye, and he almost kills her, but it gets to like a lot more B-list characters. There was one character that they brought back. It was Whiplash. He's the Iron Man villain.
Yeah, yeah.
And he added meat and potatoes to him. Like, it shows like what a loser he is. He's like married to a woman and they're living with her parents, and her parents hate him. They're like, he can't even get a job. He's no good for nothing. And he says, well, you know what? I'm going to go to New York and I'm going to do this one job, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to live happily ever after. And it turns into a tragedy. Like, he goes down there. There's other people that are after Elektra that start kicking his ass, and then somebody kills his wife because he's like, bring my costume, and she brings it and kills his wife, and then he's like, he's devastated, you know? So it, like, adds meat and potatoes to, like, Whiplash. I don't know. It's like... There's some crazy stuff. And then the guy that owns the ballet center, he turns into a woman! Like, the assignment, but... It's weird. The architect is immortal, and he can move from body to body, and he goes into this one girl's body, and then he jumps another body, and then that guy becomes a girl. So he's in a woman of a girl, and he's trying to figure out, do I want to like men, or do I want, you know, he starts dating a man. It's weird. It's like The Assignment. Have you guys read that?
No, I haven't read that.
Have you watched it?
Nope.
I'm scared to watch it because the comic was so good that, I don't know, the casting of Michelle Rodriguez is good because she's kind of tough. Mm-hmm. You know, she's a tough actress, and he's a badass, so we'll see.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, I've been looking at all the Walter Hill films and trying to figure out how am I going to get them.
I got to pee. I'll be right back.
All right.
Well, at least he's not bringing us in there.
Yeah. There were the early episodes where you'd hear this little... I don't know if he was making margaritas or peeing. I just heard...
We're usually pretty good with the mute.
Yeah.
But I have to, that is a huge hole. The Clone Saga and everything that came from it, that is a huge embarrassing hole that I never dipped my toe into. I bought all the issues, so they're just waiting on deck for me to start them.
Yeah.
But I oh my God, either. There's some huge collections. I can see how it's two omnibuses.
Yeah, my Spider-Man era came late, because I've never been a Spider-Man guy, but it came with the David Michelinie and McFarlane kind of thing.
Sure.
So like, you look at my age and you're like, why did you discover him so late? And it was because I was more of a DC guy, you know?
Right.
And I followed him all the way until Michelinie kind of left, all the Eric Larson stuff, and then when Clone Saga started, that's when I bailed. Because every time I never bailed on comics, ever, no matter where I was in my life. But I did bail on titles, like, because I had certain income, and whatever I was focusing on, I was focusing on.
Sure.
And I missed it, and it's really enjoyable. Like, you can't tell, like, Paul to read this, because he's going to be like, this is not any good. Like...
Right.
He won't like the Clone Saga. Like I could already tell him, because he's like looking for something that's better, that stands out.
Right.
Because he's time limited. But if you want to love the history of a character, you have to explore the dirt. You have to get your nails dirty.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a point in my reading where capes and cowls went out the window. And of course it happened right around the same time that the indie boom was happening, and then Vertigo launched. So it was really easy to push myself over to Fantagraphics, Drawn and Quarterly, Dark Horse, and then of course Vertigo. So yeah. I took a break from Capes and Cowls, and then it took hearing all of the groundswell when, like I knew Bendis from some of his noir stuff. But then to hear he's going, like, oh my God, some of the stuff he was doing with Avengers when he first started, and then Daredevil.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that sort of brought me back, especially when I heard, oh, they got rid of the recap page. Oh, they got rid of internal monologue.
Yeah.
And discussing the action of a panel through dialogue. Like, once they modernized it a little bit, that's sort of what drew me back into it.
Yeah.
Which was great. It was great because there's only when superheroes went really, really dark, that's sort of when I mean, I'm sure you know, or just by listening to me, it's like, for me, I enjoy the sunshine and unicorns, like when it gets really, really dark and dreary and apocalyptic, there's only certain books and characters that can take me there.
Yeah.
And when,
yeah.
When everything becomes that way, it's like, no, like I'll read an Ellis, like Authority, knowing that that's sort of like the, like
dark.
There's negative qualities to the characters. There's anti-heroes on the team.
Right. It's like the Justice League, but in a darker, darker world.
Yeah.
I can't get away with this with Superman and Batman, so here right. they are. Here's Apollo and Midnighter.
Or they're scared to even try.
Yeah.
To do that with Superman or whomever.
Yeah.
But as soon as I came back, it was really hard for me now to even look at independent books. It really has to ring true for me to be like, yes, I want to read that. Like autobiographical books, it takes a lot to draw me in, where before I would just buy autobiographical books because, I feel like I'm supporting Roberta Gregory when she's doing Naughty Bits or Jessica Abel. But now it's like I would really have to be drawn to something or have a buddy be like, you got to check this out. It's really amazing.
Yeah, but what works for some people might not work for others. Like, we're at the age where we watch Looney Tunes. Like, that was one of the cartoons that drew us in. But there's younger people that the Looney Tunes, they're aware of the Looney Tunes and they might have seen them, but they weren't getting up at 6 a.m. and watching bars on their screen so they could see when Looney Tunes started at 7 a.m. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They didn't go through that. And when you had the excitement as a child where you were so excited, you didn't have an alarm clock. You had an internal alarm clock. And it was like Christmas on Saturday. And you would read the fall TV guide preview and you'd say, oh my God, this is the lineup. I need to go from ABC to NBC and then here to CBS. Oh no, these two are at the same time. What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And you'd have to make those tough decisions. I tell Barb this every day. I am so glad I grew up when I did. Like, I think in today's world where you're plugged into the network, I would have personally missed out on a lot of discoveries. I do not think if I grew up in today's world, I would have ever had comics in my life. And
you just too much stimulus?
Yeah, there's too much stimulus. And now I'm like, I'm totally retro with games and stuff. Like, I can't even get into the games. I like when you guys talk about games, but you give me like Centipede and Missile Command and I'll talk to you about it. It's a bunch of lines going across the screen, but I could talk hours about that stuff. but if you talk about Halo and stuff, I don't know what the hell's going on.
I don't disagree. I'm back. I don't disagree though. That's why I'm like laying off social. Like I'm all in on Twitter, but everything else I've kind of gone away from.
Yeah.
There's just too much, dude. I just can't.
Well, I just see kids today, and man, the moment they wake up to the moment they go to sleep, they're plugged in. And for me, it was different. It was like I'd go four houses down, and I'd knock on the door, and I'd say, can John play? And then we'd go out, and we'd play with our guns and whatever, cap guns, and play basketball and do stuff. And I think it's a different world now, and I wouldn't trade my life for the world anything today. I just wouldn't, because everything that I learned and did, I love. Like, that's why I'm so passionate about the things of the past, because you throw that in, like, I love Sword Quest. And you throw on that Centipede comic, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And it's because I'm taken back. Like, I remember where I was and putting quarters in that machine. And I remember having to learn allowance and sometimes even getting a free game when you hit the first player button and it goes da-da-dee-dee-dee. And you're like, holy crap. It's like hitting the pinball button and you get a free game. I miss that stuff. And I've had a good life. I don't look back and say I regret anything. I just don't.
I guess the only thing I wish I had in my childhood would have been a DVR. Because the anxiety, like you were saying, when things are double booked or I run late from school and I miss, you know, G.I. Joe or, you know, some other show, it's like back then you just missed it and you're never going to see it again. There was no reruns.
But you know what? That kind of made it even more special. Like the on-demand stuff, it was so different then. It was like spinner rack. I can miss an issue and I will never see that issue ever. There was something about that. There's still an episode of $6 Million Man I have never seen because my brother stuck a crayon up his nose. He decided to stick it up his nose and snort it up that we had to rush him to the emergency room. And I never saw $6 Million Man as a cop. And I remember that episode because I was like, $6 Million Man's on. And you don't know how excited I was sitting in front of that TV with the Bionic Man. I just – that was my show. The Bionic Woman, Bionic Man, Wonder Woman 77. I mean, the Hulk. I love those things. Battle of the Network Stars because they had the characters that I watched on those shows. It was incredible. It was a good time.
Kids nowadays.
They look at our stuff and they laugh. And they'll never understand it. And I'm okay with that. I just love what we had. Like we have a retro arcade in this place called Manitou Springs, and they have everything that I love: Donkey Kong, Centipede, Missile Command. There's nothing like playing Missile Command with a trackball. I mean, it's just awesome.
Mm-hmm. You need to get a retro pie. Then you're mixing like new tech and old school shit, you know?
Well, I already have that on my iPad. Like I sit and play Centipede and Space Invaders and what is it? It's just the thing shooting up. Yeah. But that Centipede, man, when it gets fired up, it comes down really, really fast. And then you're like spinning all out of the way and the spiders bouncing all over the place.
That Mystical Man was awesome. What was that movie? Was that the... Oh, God. What was that movie called? The guy from Ferris Bueller.
Oh, War Games.
War Games.
Yeah.
That movie was amazing.
Do you want to play a game?
Is that streaming? I need to find that. I might watch that tonight.
Matthew Broderick, yeah.
That's the one, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good times.
Movies meant more, too. Man, waiting in line for Star Wars. Holy crap. That was like the best time ever. That's when I was excited to wait in the line. Now it's like I want to kill everybody.
I don't know. It was pretty friendly when I went to see Star Wars. What was it? Episode 7. Yeah, 7. It was good. I got free tickets to that for donating blood. And I took I took Reagan. She loved it. I thought it was fine.
When I saw Star Wars, it was in 77, man. And it was... I was in with my dad and brother, and it was just awesome. Like,
same here.
Best experience that it's like you could remember the seat and the smell of the theater. I mean, it's like it meant so much that the ambiance, you remember stuff. You remember the smell of popcorn. It was different than the smell of popcorn now. I mean, my mom used to take sandwiches in. We have a fried bologna sandwich. We're watching Star Wars with a fried bologna sandwich. She'd have a purse full of popcorn and, man, because we could never pay for the popcorn. We could never buy anything at the stand. Everything came out of her purse.
See, I wasn't even born when that came out.
Yeah, you guys are young.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nick is in my era.
Yeah,
absolutely. I remember my first James Bond film that I went to go see, Moonraker. And
holy
that was
cow.
Oh my, that was such a naughty film. Oh.
I remember my parents taking me to my first movie. It was the Jack Lemmon movie, and it was called Tribute. And I don't remember anything about the movie except that there were titties. It was the first movie that I saw titties, and I was like, I still talk to my mom, and I said, Mom, did you remember you took me to see Tribute, and there was titties? I always give her shit.
Yeah, my dad would take me to action films or like teenage comedies. And afterwards, there was a few times where he's like, don't tell your mother or your brother you went to go see that. And that's when I knew it was really naughty.
We never went to like a naughty film, but he would bring VHS tapes like Barbarian Queen.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, if you know what that is, and you know that they had like this was like a medieval kind of Red Sonja type movie, and they had like this guy who was a scientist, and he was experimenting with like sexual contraptions.
Had, like, oh my gosh.
He'd be pumping girls and stuff. He's like, what is this? But, no. Yeah.
My dad would take me, he would take me to like Conan the Barbarian. And there were topless women all over the place.
Crawl.
And that was one of them that I, afterwards, my father was like, don't tell your mom you saw all of that. It's like, okay.
That was the witch scene, right? When he threw her into the fire and they were having sex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, this Barbarian Queen cover is fucking sexy as hell. Ooh, wait.
And then the Sword and the Sorcerer. That was another one. That one he had a blade with three blades on it. Oh, it was such a good movie. I mean, it's not good now. You watch it now and it's like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's like Excalibur. That used to be so cool, and you watch it now and at this point you're like, the director and all of the stars must have been on way too much cocaine because everyone is sweating.
Yeah.
Are these covers pictures? Because they look like Frank Frazetta paintings.
The painting of the
Barbarian the Queen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a drawing.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh-wee.
I need
it
more.
It's a pretty sexual movie, but it's like Conan with a bunch of vengeful women.
I was hoping I could stream it, because I'm not buying the DVDs for $45.
Barbarian Queen was on Netflix about 8 years ago, because I rewatched it.
Oh, and Martin, just to let you know, very close with Frazetta. Boris Vallejo.
Okay, yep.
Which, if it isn't Frazetta, it's got to be him.
Yep, sure is.
Yeah, he did the movie poster.
Barbarian.
Yeah, why isn't that on? Why isn't that streaming? Are you sure it's not on Amazon Prime?
No, it's not. It's not on Netflix. It's not on Prime.
Dang it.
And then there was Crawl. Like, all those movies, anything that was, like, in that realm. Beastmaster, like...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Beastmaster was awesome.
I loved Beastmaster. He'd have those little ferrets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had the Clash of the Titans. Any kind of those movies I was, like, just absorbed in.
Same here.
Dang.
That was a good time growing up.
Dude, none of these are streaming. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's they come on every now and then. Like Sword and the Sorcerer did too. Sword and the Sorcerer was really good at the time. It was rated R too, because I remember seeing it at the theater, and it had a lot of bloodshed at the time and a lot of boobies. And I remember that it would always shock my mom, but my dad would like brush it off. Like it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, same here.
I had a good life. My dad, we never had any money, but we traveled the country in an Apache in a truck. And we even took friends with us. Like my parents were cool about it. Like they'd take some of the friends in the neighborhood with us. Okay. Even in high school, before Barb went on vacations with us. So like that's how, you know, when we were dating in high school, she went on these truck vacations with us.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Truck.
Yeah, there was no airlines when I was growing up, that's for sure. It was all road trips.
No airlines. What are you from, like the 1850s?
No, they were just way too expensive.
Oh.
We couldn't afford them.
They were a big deal back then. They were expensive.
Yeah.
It wasn't like fly 59.99 on Southwest on some deal. It was a lot. So we would drive cross country. That was our trip. And that's where I would list. My dad had this truck. It was a yellow Ford pickup. And he'd have a shell on it, and he built these like beds that we could lay down in the back. And we would travel in there, no seat belts, no whatsoever, go across country on this thing. And he had crafted speakers, like his homemade speakers made out of wood, and he would put them in the back so we could play music. And then he put in a cassette in there, and it's like, what do you want to hear? And we're like, REO Speedwagon! Yeah! And then we'd hear it like over and over again. So like you knew what next song was coming out, exactly when it was coming out. And it's like, Def Leppard Pyromania now, play it! And it's like over and over. Now when I hear one of those songs and it ends, I'm waiting for the next one.
Yeah, I'm a lot younger than you guys are, but even I've realized You were talking about like flying and stuff. Even when I was young, like it was special to go flying, you know. And if you were in a plane, like they made you feel like, yeah, you paid a shit ton of money to be here, but you know you're special, bro.
Yep.
It's almost like over the years, just everything's just so commoditized that it doesn't really fucking matter anymore. You know, you take everything for granted.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't even fly until college. And even when I did that, I don't even think my mother flew at that point. Like I was flying out to see a girl I was dating in California.
Look at you.
Yeah.
How'd you communicate? Was it smoke signals?
It was it was way too expensive phone calls.
Did you send telegrams?
Yeah, that's when you had the long distance phone calls.
Yep, absolutely. And letters, of course. Letters, postcards. She was a nanny, so.
Letters?
She had plenty of time to write letters and send pictures, so.
Mm. Was it nudie pictures?
There were some.
Ooh.
And then all of a sudden, well, this was the kicker.
That's when it's like, I need a plane ticket.
Absolutely. And this was the kicker about a year later, because I used to hide them in my backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And about a year later, I came home after college one summer. And my backpack was missing. It wasn't where I usually throw it. So I didn't ask my mom about it, but I went into my closet and found it there and rifled through. And like everything in that backpack was cleaned out.
Oh no.
And it wasn't cleaned out by me.
I still don't want to ask my parents about my porno that I had in the closet. Because I know
there you go.
And the only people that knew where it was by one of my toys hidden in the back corner. And there was only two people that knew where it was. My brother knew, I knew, and one of my high school friends. So either my high school friend took it or my parents found it and they were too embarrassed to sit with me and say, "What is this stuff?"
Ooh.
Because I had this high school friend and he looked like he was 1 year younger than me and he looked like he was like 25. So he would always go to the video store and he's like, "Okay, you guys want a porno? I'll go get it." And he'd walk right in and walk right out.
Wow. went behind the velvet curtains.
Yeah, back then.
Yeah.
They'd have the VCR, like all the regular movies. And then you'd have the pornos in the back, and he would just go to the back and grab out some pornos. And he'd usually rent them, but they'd have them on sale for like $10 after they got rid of. I guess when everybody masturbated and they got tired of it, they'd sell them for like $10, and then he would go and he'd go grab it.
Or the tape is worn down after one specific scene because everyone stops or pauses it there and then rewinds it. So it's like, yeah, get rid of that one.
Yeah, I remember my first two pornos, like one was a Marilyn Chambers and I can't remember the title of it, but I remember one was a Sika film. It was called Sika is Tara. And then the other one was New Wave Hookers. And I swear New Wave Hookers was like the best porn I've ever seen.
Awesome. Oh, God.
I remember my first porno. It was called Her Red Hot Pussy.
Whoa.
I was I think I was in fifth grade, I want to say. We had we used to go to my buddy Ernesto's house. Yeah,
Great. That's pretty early.
We used to go to my buddy's house to play video games. And one day we all went there, we're playing video games, and my buddy's like, "Hey, check out what I found." And apparently he had found his dad's porn stash. And so he put this red hot pussy on, and it was some crazy shit. I still remember it. And I remember because I had to go pee really badly. And I didn't want to say, "Hey, I got to go to the bathroom," because I didn't want to think, I didn't want everyone to be like, "Oh my God, he's going to go jerk off." Because I really just had to fucking pee. Yep, good old days.
Those are the
I never got days. The birds and the bees discussion ever.
I don't think I did either.
Yeah,
I did from my mother.
Hmm.
You had to learn, like, you got the, like, healthcare class thing, but that's totally different. Like, I didn't even know, like, masturbating existed. I didn't.
Hmm.
Until I met the friend, and he said, "Have you ever masturbated?" He's like, "What the fuck is that?" Like, "You just grab it, and you just do it. You get some Vaseline, and you go..." I mean, I was having the wet dreams, but I was like, how do I hide this? Like, I didn't know what it was. I'd wake up and have morning wood and there's sticky stuff. And you're like, what the hell do I do? Like, is something wrong with me? You know, like, why are my shorts sticking to my neck?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It was a scary time.
Yeah, things were changing.
Things were changing, and you don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had the talk.
Yeah, but Barb Barb's cutting cantaloupe in the background, and he said, "You should have just Googled it." Well, we didn't have
Google. We didn't have Google.
It's not like I could go to the library and get the index cards and say, "Masturbate, you know, what is this white stuff?"
If only we could.
Get it on.
No, I had the talk with my mom because my dad is and was too shy to do that. So my mom had to do that. And then, of course, she's the only one washing the bedding.
Mm.
So when she discovered the bedding, then she had that talk with me as well.
See, for me, I hid it. Like, I cleaned the shit out of it because I was like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Like,
yeah,
but I
wasn't going to
let anybody find out about it. I knew something was wrong.
Nothing was wrong.
Nothing was wrong. It's your hormones, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then when you figure it out, you're like, God, I hope I have a wet dream.
Then all of a sudden you discover how nice it feels.
Yeah.
And then you're like, do I have a problem? I don't have any problem.
Then we're all like Joe Matt.
Yep.
Joe Matt.
We just don't draw comics. That's the problem.
Peep Show. Wow, you read it too. That's great.
That was. And you always, it was always filthy, but you wanted it to be more naughty.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't really pornography. It was just an independent book of him doing that way too much.
It started off like you, and even when you're like a kid and you're doing it, you're like, okay, here's family circle. Is this chick pretty hot? I mean, you know your mom's magazine.
The JCPenney catalog?
A People magazine. You're like, oh.
Yep.
Oh, TV Guide. It's got her on the cover.
Oh, yeah. That had to happen. You couldn't run out. You couldn't run. Like, there were no Tiger Beat magazines for boys.
No.
It was always, like, girl-related stuff. So you never got, like, oh, there's Heather Locklear or Heather Thomas. Like, I like the Fall Guy.
We used to have this horror story by when we grew up called the Arona, and she was the one that used to walk the ditches because she drowned her children, and we had a ditch near our house, and she used to walk the ditches, and they said if you went on the ditches at night, you would hear her say, like, ¿Dónde está mijitos? She was searching for her children that she drowned. And it's interesting that she even had an appearance in the New 52 Batgirl, but that legend is always been there. But parents used to tell their kids not to go to the ditches because they didn't want them in the ditch because kids would drown there. So they would tell them this horror story. And and the ditch is where we found, like, people must have hid their porn there, because when I was in I think grade 6 or 7, we'd go on the ditch, we'd walk the ditch, not at night because we were always too scared because of the legends, but we'd walk the ditch. People would stash porn at the ditch.
Yeah,
so we'd have
course.
All these, we'd have, like, we'd find these pictures and then we'd take them to school and share the pictures. Everybody's like, check this out. We don't know where it came from. It would just, like, magically appear at the ditch every now and then.
You naughty boy.
Yeah.
Hey, we should wrap this up.
Yeah, you guys got to go to work.
Oh, are you off tomorrow?
No, I got to go to work, too, but I'm 2 hours
behind.
Oh,
that's right.
You.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You got 2 hours of reading ahead of you.
No, I can't read after that Elmer Fudd still. It's still absorbing.
Oh, okay. I got about 3 pages in me, so.
I might read that and then go to bed.
Do you read yourself to sleep?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
I can't do that.
Only way, because then I can dream about it. That's why 90s Spider-Man is so perfect. You read that, and then you're just swinging along with him. Me and the old webhead. Come on.
That, you want to be in your happy place.
That is totally my happy place.
Yeah, you don't want to read any post-apocalyptic comic before bed.
No, that's why right now it's really tough. I don't want to read the Rot World. I don't want to be in that world right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, thanks for having me, because I needed to podcast, and it was my only opportunity, because I can't podcast the rest of the month. So
is Bill sick?
Bill is sick today, and then I'm like, I have like weekend events every week of September.
Dang. So that's fun.
Yeah.
So starting holiday week on.
Well, we have next weekend we're traveling, so I won't be able to podcast. The next week I can podcast, but we have some stuff going on like internally, and then Chris comes and visits us.
Ooh.
Ivy's coming down.
Oh, I saw Barb commenting on diving into the comics.
Yeah. Him and his wife are going to spend two nights with us. So.
Nice.
In that doghouse, that kennel house.
Yeah, the kennel. Hey, there's no room anymore. We have one bedroom because there's the other guest bedroom has piles and piles and piles of collected editions.
Oh, that's where I'd be sleeping.
It's like to the roof.
Oh, just let me put a pillow. I'll sleep right amongst them.
That's where all my Omnibuy and everything else is.
Love shit. It. All right, we're going to wrap it up. This has been a show with Nick and me and Mike. Thanks for coming on, Mike. You know we love you.
Grab ass. It's been a great grab ass.
Yeah.
Nick's at Nick Wetmore. Mike is at Mike Myers Brunch. I'm at Geekvine. And go check out all the podcasts Mike does because he's the best. And that's it. We're done. Bye.
Peace out.